Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
We live in a world where everything is digital these days, right? Think about it. Do you still carry your card? Do you use your banking app? Do you do cell phone banking or use the various technologies on your phone to process payments? I ask this because essentially what we've seen is that in as much as this provides a great level of convenience, it also presents a new security threat. One that has actually seen a significant rise. And unfortunately, whilst digital is a great alternative, it's also one that's being used by fraudsters when it comes to targeting unsuspecting banking customers. According to the Ombudsman for Banking, they've warned that there's been a 73% rise in virtual banking fraud in South Africa. So we need to be careful. But for and what to look out for is Nerosha Masetti, lead ombud at the Banking and Credit Division at the NFO, the National Financial Ombudsman Office. So to help us unpack this, Nerosha, welcome to the show. It's a heavy conversation because I've been reading about various articles, reports. I'm aware of the banks as well trying to initiate some support levels. But shoo, the reality is quite harsh. Maybe let's just start with the growth in digital banking and how this has presented an opportunity for fraudsters to tap into.
Good evening, Gugu. Thank you for having me. And before I tackle this virtual banking, I was listening to your previous guest, very interesting, and I want to take the opportunity to wish you Happy Women's Month and all your female listeners.
Thank you, Nerosha. Happy Women's Month to you too.
Very much. Yes, I think, you know, we in our space have seen somewhat the decrease in the virtual, in the physical card, and a definite increase of 73% year on year on the use of virtual cards. So whilst virtual cards offer enhanced convenience and security, what we're finding is they're also presenting an opportunity for fraudsters to take advantage of unsuspecting banking customers.
And this is a concern. Go ahead.
This is a definite concern on our side. Firstly, because, you know, the card is convenient, the card is offering security, but then customers are falling victim. And the way they're falling victim is by compromising their private banking credentials. So they're compromising, they're falling victim to phishing, smishing, vishing types of fraud. Then they are disclosing their confidential banking information, be it their one-time password, be it their allowing or authenticating messages on their app, and then allowing these fraudsters to gain unauthorized access to their banking app, thereby creating these virtual cards and then performing unauthorized transactions.
And I think it's important, as you've mentioned, there's a number of themes that they use, vishing, phishing, but ultimately ways within which they try to get us to take action and authorize the transaction. And this is various methods like OTPs and other threats that have come about. How have we, seen the market reacting to this? Because the banks typically have processes and security in place. So where do we typically see the lapse come through? Is it us in our protocols versus what the banks are doing?
I want to say that as we evolve in the digital space to more convenient and secure digital platforms, so too does the modus operandi of fraudsters out there. And I think the interesting thing is that they prey on these victims by presenting that they are from their bank, creating the impression that they are a valid bank employee, or they're really calling from their bank, sending emails that appear to be from their bank, customers falling for it, creating a sense of panic. Your account has been hacked, or your account has been accessed by an unauthorized third party. Give me your access credentials so I can secure the funds, or alternatively, I'll set up a beneficiary account for you to secure the funds, obviously giving them the impression that the beneficiary account is some sort of suspense account or secure account for them who's pretending to be the bank to secure the funds, when in fact it's not. It is actually you paying money to these fraudsters, and you will see the money depleting quite quickly. Mm-hmm. I think where the control is, or where more can be done, is around creating or consumer education around it. Mm. Your bank is not going to phone you and say, please give me your confidential banking information so that I can access your account and secure funds. So it's those kind of things that I think consumers need to watch out for, the red flags, Disclosing confidential information to a third party, absolute no-no, first red flag. Mm-hmm. So I think those kinds of things. But for me personally, I do think the centers around consumer education and awareness.
And this is so important, right? Because that's why platforms like this exist and conversations like the one we're having are so vital. So that we actually all had developed a better understanding of how to improve our level of understanding, but also beef up our security. So where should we start? Because many of us might say, but hold on, you know, this seems legit. They asked for an OTP. I don't remember processing a payment, or maybe there was another OTP that came first. So what are those additional red flags we should be looking out for? But more so, how do we put up the preemptive measures to avoid even falling victim to such kind of scams?
The first, your listeners need to understand, a bank's not going to send you an email to click a link. A bank's not going to call you to ask you for your confidential information. First red flag. Mm-hmm. I think it would be good to enable multi-factor authentication on your banking app, which requires like extra verification, be it biometric authentication or a one-time PIN. Also, Google, I think it's important for us as consumers or banking customers to avoid using public Wi-Fi, as they, you know, they are susceptible to hackers or to intercept your data. Mm. Passwords, very important. Use strong passwords, change them regularly, and that's an added security measure there. In terms of the virtual card specifically, you can also speak to your bank, because some banks allow you to set up limits on virtual cards. So you can decipher your risk appetite. You can tell the bank, listen, on this virtual card, these are my limits for the various transactions, which is also very important. I think the other thing is, the way the fraudster is able to hook the customer into believing that what is being said is true, is the fact that they are able to create panic. They are able to create panic around it. You've got to give me your information now. Your money is going to leave. And I think the one thing I want to say is, don't panic. Just remain calm and absorb what information is being told to you. Allow yourself to pause, process that information before you react. I think it's very important as well. And I think if you are being sent an email or you get a funny call that you're not too comfortable with, my advice is to contact your bank immediately. Mm. Contact your bank. The bank will stop that account. Your bank is best placed to mitigate those damages. On our side, in instances where a customer does contact the bank and there's, and although we can see a compromise on the part of the consumer in terms of divulging this information, there are often instances where we find that after reporting it to the bank didn't stop the account or take the appropriate action. And in those instances, we are able to recover funds for the consumer. Because the moment you inform your bank, then it becomes the bank's obligation to limit or prevent that loss.
Yes.
And I think by taking measures.
This is such an important area to emphasize, Narosha. I do recall a conversation we had just a few months ago where kidnappings and individuals who are giving their money away to criminals under duress, because you've got a gun to your head, quite frankly, there's been a challenge in terms of processing that funding back from many banks. There isn't an industry standard, from what I understand, or an insurance or a cover that actually does give you back any money that might be lost to kidnappers. And I think it's important for us just to emphasize the risks and the concerns and the balances that need to be put in place to make sure that the banks are also covering their risk, because this opens them up to heightened levels of fraud. But how we also need to be conscious of the fact that should we be under pressure and under duress to think twice about that transaction, because the losses could really be locked in.
100%. And I think another thing I want to say, Google, which is very important, where they send you, they say, listen, you've got to, we're going to secure the funds now. Please approve the OTP that's being sent to you. We find on our side that if the consumer just takes time to carefully read, as opposed to just disclosing the OTP or approving it, to carefully read what that OTP is saying and processing it before clicking authorize, you're going to prevent yourself a lot of heartache.
Oh, that's so true. Take your time and read through. Something else that often comes to mind when I think of it is also, I guess, limits, right? Depending on the transactions and consistency of how often you transact, we also need to be mindful of the limits, payment limits that we can implement. And this is something that the banks give us some flexibility to do, as we are in charge of the app and how we use the apps and the platforms that we have access to.
100%. I think that's 100%. And I think, you know, remember, the relationship between the bank and the banking customer is a contractual one. Mm-hmm. So both parties have an obligation to ensure that the bank has an obligation to ensure that they provide safe and secure banking platforms, and they have an obligation to inform you and create awareness around trends and fraud. You have an obligation to ensure that you understand the product that you've signed up for, and that you are able to not disclose your confidential banking information and keep up to speed in terms of the type of frauds that are happening out there and how you can protect yourself.
100%. This comes back to the role you play at your office, right? Lead Ombud at the Banking and Credit Division at the National Financial Ombud Scheme. And it seems like you and your team have been busy, Narosha, because as you've mentioned, there's a spike in virtual banking fraud. And this often then leads to, a uncomfortable conversation between your banking clients, the banks, and yourselves who work as a mediator. But where do we, you know, what are we seeing in terms of those trends? What are we seeing as well in terms of the management of the frustrations that are reported by clients?
Yeah, it's a very personal thing. Google Money is a personal thing. So when customers are suffering these losses, it's very, very sad to see. And obviously, it's an emotional thing when they come to our offices. We investigate the matter. We look for any negligence or compromise on the bank's part. Generally, in terms of these type of complaints, what we're seeing is the compromise on the customer side. The customer is unfortunately disclosing the information by virtue of falling victim to these phishing or smishing attacks, disclosing the information which then leads to the losses. As I mentioned earlier, we will look at when the fraud was reported to the bank and did the bank do everything that was necessary to either mitigate the losses or prevent it. And if we find that there was not sufficient action taken by the bank and certain funds could have been recovered, then we make that kind of recommendation to the bank that, listen, these funds could have been recovered. You didn't act timely. You need to return the funds. Yes, I think the stats on our side was quite a significant increase when we compare it to year on year. There has been an increase in digital banking fraud complaints, rising from 1,436 cases between January and May 2024 to 2,483 cases during the same period this year.
Sure.
So that's a significant increase of 73% year on year in terms of this digital fraud. Mm. So that alone will tell us how busy the fraudsters have been in that space.
Mm. Does it also peak seasonally? And I ask this because we know the festive season is when we often at heightened risk, just because we transact a lot more than usual.
I think we've seen just a steady increase throughout the months from January to now. I think that they are actually do work overtime during the festive season, and we do a lot of consumer education and awareness during that period. But they are busy all round, Gugu. Mm. They don't take time off from these stats. The fraudsters.
And clearly, as the stats, the technology gets better, they're also learning new hacks and trends. And clearly, we need to just be a lot more mindful
constantly
as to how we engage.
Yes.
Perfect.
100%.
Narosha, such a pleasure speaking to you. It's always so exciting to hear your insights and that of your colleagues as well. It always leaves us feeling a lot more empowered just to understand that progress is being made. We're being cautioned around the risks, and we just need to be a lot more intentional about paying greater attention to frauds and scams out there.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, Gugu, for having me. Always a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you. That's Narosha Masetti, Lead Ombud at the Banking and Credit Division of the National Financial Ombud Scheme. That's so far as to be aware of, right, when it comes to financial fraud, especially when it happens digitally. And please do be careful. We've had this conversation many a times, especially when we also focus on some of the institutions that see trends, whether they're calling you to say, hey, you owe your TV license. I actually had a text earlier today from a bank that I don't even bank with, and they said to me, you're at risk. We're going to close your account unless you update your FICA documents. But reading in between lines, I don't bank with that bank, so there are no FICA documents to share. And as Narosha mentioned, your bank will not call you to confirm ID number, your address, your cell phone number, online one-time PIN. Those are very sensitive themes. And sometimes if you're like me and you're just concerned that you might be speaking to a scammer, rather tell the banking consultant that you'll call the bank back and use the authorized call center number. Use the digital channels. If you have a banker, call your banker directly. But there are always alternatives of making sure that you keep your banking details up to scratch. With regard to being put under duress, Hey, guys, we need to be careful. Unfortunately, most of the time, there aren't any systems within the banking space to offer coverage, but some banks do pay back. But that's a whole nother conversation we need to have when it comes to the regulation of banks, the insurance, the types of solutions that they're putting in place. But overall, be careful with digital banking and virtual cards. We do need to make sure that we are aware of the increase in fraud that takes place there.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.